zombies, gender, and the American housing market, plus the business of Star Trek on its golden anniversary. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There is new data today showing that the glut of vacant real estate that followed the housing crisis in America is shrinking. Real estate data firm Adam Data Solutions reports the number of vacant properties in foreclosure limbo has fallen as banks have taken over tens of thousands of these houses. Gigi Duban reports.
They're called zombie properties because, like zombies, these houses are empty and in bad shape.
Sometimes they've been urban mined. You know, copper piping has been stripped out by vandals.
Darren Bloomquist is Senior VP of Adam Data Solutions. He says for years after the housing crash, there were tons of these houses out there, mostly in urban areas. The banks had started to foreclose on them, the owners moved out, and then for whatever reason, the banks didn't actually foreclose. Now banks are finally buying them up.
We saw a decrease in these zombie properties, down 9% from a year ago.
And the number of vacant properties owned by banks went up 67%. Susan Wachter teaches real estate finance at the Wharton School.
This is the last innings for the recovery.
So why has it taken banks so long? Wachter says as vacancies go down, housing prices go up. And the more prices increase, the more banks can recoup on those foreclosure sales. I'm Gigi Duban for Marketplace.
Staying with America's housing market here, a revelation about gender. A study just released by the Urban Institute finds that women are better than men at paying their mortgages. Marketplace's Lewis Wallace has more.
There's a lot in this study. One, single women pay more for mortgages on average, and they're more likely to be sold subprime loans. That could be because women's credit scores tend to be slightly worse. But study co-author Lori Goodman says those credit scores aren't getting at the study's most important revelation, that women are actually less likely than men to default.
We're not capturing how good their characteristics really are.
And this matters especially because of who these single women are. Chris Marsh is a sociologist at the University of Maryland, College Park.
Single borrowers tend to live in minority areas, and they tend to live in areas with lower incomes.
She says the housing market needs to look at more than just credit scores, because that's keeping women and people of color stuck with pricier loans for lower valued homes.
There still remains a hierarchy in the housing market, one that advantages whites, married or partnered couples, and men.
But the fact that women are more likely to make their payments, she says, is an example of girl power. I'm Lewis Wallace for Marketplace.
Checking markets now. The 100 share index in London is up 0.5%. Dow and S&P futures are up by less than 0.1%. Fifty years ago tonight, the NBC television network broadcast The Man Trap, the episode that launched the series Star Trek, this generally utopian view of our future that sprung from the mind of producer Gene Roddenberry. 79 episodes of just the original series, 12 feature films, untold number of conventions, plastic Enterprise models, fake phasers. Is there any way to really quantify Star Trek's legacy? Our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, is exploring Star Trek at 50 this week, and I grabbed the host, Ben Johnson, to join us here. Hi, Ben.
Hi, David.
So how do we really quantify the Star Trek phenom?
How does infinity sound? Here's the problem. Star Trek has been called one of the most successful entertainment franchises in U.S. history. And when you reach a certain size, it's really hard to put a single number on this. So I'll say that back in 2006, when Star Trek turned 40, one estimate put the number at around $4 billion just for Paramount's distribution of the films alone. So 10 years later, you might be looking at something a little bit closer to $5 billion, and add that to what CBS has made with syndication of the television shows, the convention business, those Star Trek pajamas that I think you may know about, and you've got a pretty major economic engine here.
And then my favorite topic, how Star Trek influenced kids who grew up to be real engineers and produced later real-life inventions.
Absolutely. So there's been a recurring theme for us on Marketplace Tech all week. One of the people we talked to for our series was Mark Altman. He's an author who co-wrote an oral history of the franchise called The 50-Year Mission. Altman points out that a lot of the technology imagined for hundreds of years in the future on the show really did influence a bunch of tech that popped up just a few decades after Star Trek debuted.
You know, Star Trek introduced the idea of this device from a planet. You could communicate with the ship. You flipped it open. It made a cool sound. And that was a huge influence on the Motorola flip phone and cell phones.
You've also got virtual reality compared to the show's holodeck. Another example is simply the fact that Google has stated pretty clearly that it wants to make search and voice recognition comparable to the Star Trek computer that you can actually talk to.
Unable to comply. Internal scanner relays have been damaged.
Ben, not to be a heretic, a Trekatic here, but... Do we want to believe Star Trek was more of an influence than it was? I mean, this stuff might have been invented anyway. Star Trek is not the only science fiction we can draw on for inspiration.
Here's another piece of proof. Another person we talked to for the series was David Allen Batchelor. He's an aerospace technologist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center.
I and a lot of the acquaintances I have at NASA are definitely Star Trek fans and inspired by what we saw in Star Trek. The missions that I get to work on all are very Star Trek-y. We're about to launch something called OSIRIS-REx to visit an asteroid and get a sample and bring it back.
Yes, asteroid mining, just like Star Trek Enterprise episode, I think it was called Impulse. Ben Johnson, host of our sibling program, Marketplace Tech, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Yes, his intimation was correct. I do own a pair of Star Trek pajamas. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.